add to Barbara's statement that as we get older, we forget. But there becomes even a worse stage than that. As you get older, you remember, but you forget, you forgot that you remembered. And that's even a worse state to be in. On this World Communion Sunday, I cannot think of a better scripture than this from Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one house. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and there appeared tongues as a fire, distributed and resting on each one. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were, dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at that sound, the multitude gathered together, and they were bewildered, because each one of them heard language speaking in their own tongue. And they were amazed, and they wondered, saying, "Are not all of these men from Galilee? How is it that we're hearing each of us in our own language?" Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Phrygia, Philippia, Pamphylia, Pontus, residents of Crete, Arabia, Egypt, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, all hearing the mighty works of God. And they looked at one another, perplexed and amazed, and said, "What is the meaning of this?" But others, mocking, said, "Them boys have been drinking new wine." Those of you who know my schedule know that a couple of times each year I lay aside my pastoral duties and gather with friends and family up in the mountains for a time of camping and river rafting. Next weekend will be the 89th time we have gathered. And even though the cast of characters changes from occasion to occasion, it is always a time of celebration and refreshment. And strange though it might be to say, though the cast of characters may change somewhat, it is always, in a very unique and wonderful way, a celebration of family. I can pinpoint for you exactly when this occasion became a family. It happened over 40 years ago when we were young and considered ourselves indestructible. We gathered at a place called Standing Indian Campground in North Carolina, about 5 or 10 minutes from the Raybergs Mountain House. And even though the weekend had been beset by torrential rains, about 25 hardy and rather stupid souls answered my summons to come meet at the river on the upper Nantahala. And yeah, we noticed the river was a little swollen from all the rain, but that didn't stop us from blowing up our inner tubes and parking a couple of trucks way down as far as we could reach on a country muddy road, and then coming back and setting sail on a river we had never seen. 21 of us were in inner tubes, 4 were in rafts, and they were the only ones with life jackets. But they wouldn't need them because their raft would be harpooned by a down log at 100 yards. And they had to walk back to camp. But they threw 4 tubers that entered their life jackets thinking they might come in handy. And they did. Suffice it to say that even on this rain-swollen river, we managed pretty well right up until the moment we didn't. I had said to the group, now look, if I motion for you to get out as quickly as you can. And that plan worked right until the time I rounded a curve where 3 other swollen creeks fed into our torrent river and turned it into wild water. It was as if my inner tube had a gear shift and it shifted into high. And I'm trying frantically to motion people out, but I'm also hanging on for dear life. But they knew something was up when I disappeared over a waterfall. When I managed to get to shore and look back, it was as if a bomb had exploded. Bodies flying everywhere. Desperate swimmers grabbing empty inner tubes that had already rejected their original riders. People that were relatively safe throwing their life jackets to people who appeared to be drowning. Miraculously, and I mean that theologically, miraculously, everyone made it safely to shore. However, 4 people made it to the wrong shore. 2 very thin girls who were not great swimmers who had been saved from drowning by 2 pretty husky guys. So 4 people on the wrong side of the river and they only had 2 inner tubes. I devised a plan. Taking my strongest guy, I had him wrap his arms around a tree. And then the rest of us, using him as our anchor, linked arms and created a human chain out into the torrential river. It was a plan that had plenty of reasons not to work, but it did. The 2 husky guys got in their 2 inner tubes, the girls got in the guys' laps, and they floated at an angle, and our human chain stood amidst the flood and caught them and took them to safety. In that moment, our group became a family. Many of them, just a few hours before, didn't even know each other's names. They were complete strangers. But now they had shared a harrowing ordeal, and everyone knew we owed each other their life. We were a family. I think of that incident every time I look at the story of Pentecost. Pentecost, on its surface, is just an annual Jewish agricultural festival where thousands of Jews gathered from all over the Mediterranean to gather in Jerusalem and in the temple. And out of those thousands of Jews, there were a small cluster of Jews who were the nucleus of a movement that believed that Jesus of Nazareth was Christ, God's anointed Messiah. But when the Holy Spirit fell upon that small cluster of Jews and they spilled out into the city preaching God's good news to all the assembled multitude, complete strangers, in their own language. In that moment, a movement became a family. These people who were complete strangers to each other heard God's redemptive good news preached to them in their own tongue. And though they were strangers to each other, they experienced a common liberation. They experienced a common exhilaration. They shared a common joy. Strangers though they had been, suddenly they shared a common amazement at God's good news being preached to them in words they could understand. And by the very Spirit of Christ, they were knit together into a common kinship. People of every language, every culture, knit together by the power of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Knit into the kinship of the people of God, a family. When I try to conceive of World Communion Sunday, of people of every culture, every country, every color, every political persuasion, celebrating on this day, remembering the costly risk that God took to redeem us through the gift of the mission of His Son. What comes to my mind is the image of a group of rafters linked arm in arm, stretching out into a torrential river to save others. For what else is the church but a community of believers linked arm in arms in a human chain with the intent of being an instrument of rescue and redemption? What is the body of Christ? What is it meant to be but a group of people anchored by Christ, who is our strength and our security, providing us with the assurance that whatever chaotic circumstances might come, we will stand amidst the flood. What is the body of Christ but made up of individuals who are willing to throw the life jacket of good news to other people in trouble? Because when we were in trouble, someone reached out to us. What is the body of Christ but a group of people linked arm in arm from every country, every color, every culture, every political persuasion, anchored by the power of Christ, stretching out into a chaotic world to bring people into the safe harbor of our Lord? That's what the church is meant to be, a group of people linked arm in arm as an instrument of redemption and rescue. Christ has given us the power to commune with Him and given us the power to commune with each other. And that is what we celebrate and commemorate as we partake of this table on this day. As the scriptures say, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I invite you this morning to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the table of Dr. Krimmer, not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of all believers who claim him as Christ and Lord. We invite you to come by section. The elements will be placed out for you. Take both of them as you come, and then we will partake of each element in turn. We're delighted to have you share in Christ's table together.